This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Cloudy outside right now, 61 degrees, going up to 79 today. Cloudy tomorrow, highs of 78, 40% chance for showers tomorrow. Then Saturday, man, a lot of stuff scheduled. Some of it's been postponed, 85% chance for showers, highs of 76, and then some rain lingering into Sunday or not. Maybe it'll clear up by then. It's all about the timing and all that stuff. But we're going to be into the 80s next week, so springtime and summertime, everything else knocking on the door. Kathleen Roeming joins us now, Director of Social Security and Disability Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Talk about Social Security in the news, DOGE in the news, a lot of stuff in the news. How you doing, Kathleen?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Let's start with this. Somebody texted in, Tommy, doesn't Donald Trump want to get rid of all income taxes on Social Security? I don't know. Kathleen, does he?
That's something that he's mentioned, that's for sure. It remains to be seen whether it's going to show up in a bill this year in Congress.
All right, let's talk about what is going on with Social Security and DOGE and people going in to register or not register. It seems like it's one step forward, two steps back with the policies and so forth. Tell me what's changed, at least as far as we know.
That's right. It has been a chaotic rollout. And I guess the first thing I want to say to your listeners is that if you are receiving Social Security or SSI benefits now, please, if somebody calls you or texts you and says that you need to provide your personal information over the phone, don't do that. Scammers are taking advantage of the chaos and they're taking advantage of our seniors and people with disabilities. And I would hate for anyone to fall victim to that.
Kathleen, I think so important. I would ask you to say that again, because I didn't realize it until you said it. Because I know there are scams that run all the time, constantly, right? But I would think with something like this going on, the scammers are thinking, holy moly, jackpot.
Exactly. There is so much confusion right now, and people are so scared. They think their benefits might be cut off. And that's just not the case. So if anybody calls you asking for your Social Security number and your personal information and tells you that your benefits are going to get cut off if you don't provide it, don't believe them. Do not give that information over the phone or via text.
So we'll start with this and maybe work back. What has changed as far as people that are either on Social Security, getting ready to apply for it, et cetera?
That's right. So for people who are applying for Social Security or people who are changing their direct deposit information, as of about 2 weeks from now, they're not going to be able to do that over the phone. Okay. Instead, they will either have to do it online at My Social Security if they're able to do that, if they can log in, and if there is an online application available for the benefit that they're applying for, or they're going to have to go in person to a Social Security Administration office to do that.
What is the, I helped a neighbor do this a while back, and I forgot exactly what it was, some kind of Social Security, something or the other, where he got an ID or an identity or something like that. What's the name of it?
Exactly. So on the website, it's called My Social Security.
That's
and to log into that, exactly, you have to use these tools, these what they call online authentication tools, and they can be pretty tricky for a lot of people. I was actually not able to log in using those tools myself.
Oh, really? Now, do you have to apply for Social Security to have one of those, or just if you pay into Social Security, you can?
That's right. Anyone can log in, and in fact, you should go log in and check your Social Security statement to make sure everything is right. And that's what I was trying to do when it when I tried to log in last month. And so that's something, you know, everyone should be able to access their benefit statements. And for many people, for retirees and people applying for disability insurance, they can also apply online using My Social Security.
So as it stands now, after 2 weeks from now, you're going to have to, or starting in 2 weeks, you're going to have to go into the office if you want to change wherever it is you want your Social Security check sent or deposited. And what else?
That's right. If you can't do it online, that's correct. You will have to go in to change your bank information for your direct deposit. And if you, same thing applies if you can't apply for retirement or disability insurance online. And also, everyone who experiences a death in the family and who is applying for Social Security survivors benefits, so those go to widows and to kids whose parents die, all of those people are going to have to go in person to apply for benefits. The same now, thing goes for, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm here every day, Kathleen. I don't hear you.
Oh, sure. The same thing goes for people who are applying for supplemental security income or SSI. That's for low income, older and disabled folks. They all will have to go in person under this new policy.
Okay, now there is a Social Security office in our office building, and I see a lot of people, stream of people coming in, coming out every day. And I know that there's also a Social Security office on my way home that I see, and there are a lot of people sometimes waiting outside of the door to get in. And that's in normal situations. And I say normal, I don't know, the way it has been. But let's talk about when we come back, what happened or has anything happened with Elon Musk and Doge and Social Security as far as staffing goes, because it seems as though we have two roads converging here, like maybe trains on a track that's going to intersect, maybe not good, where you got people being laid off at a Social Security office, so you got less employees, but then you have more people being forced to go into the Social Security office. That seems like it could be problematic, but we'll pick it up there when we come back. Also, talk about fraud when it comes to Social Security, what's real, what's not real, and what about information that Elon Musk and his team have access to? Is that a concern or not? We're talking to Kathleen Romig, Director of Social Security and Disability Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. I know one thing, Kathleen, we've had discussions about this numerous times before in the decades I've been doing this job, and a lot of people always text in and say they want the government to keep their hands off of their Social Security, which I always find interesting because it is a, you know, a government program. 620, more when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. It is 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Kathleen Romig, Director of Social Security Disability Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, about Social Security and the changes that could be coming in DOGE and laying people off. I mentioned beforehand, Kathleen, that you could have divergent or intersecting roads here, where you got DOGE laying off people at the Social Security office and more people being forced to go into the offices. Is that a problem? Have people been laid off? Tell me about it.
That's exactly right. And what you were saying before is spot on. It's already hard to get help at the Social Security Administration. When you call their 800 number, on average, it takes 2 hours to get a call back. When you ask for an appointment, on average, it takes over a month to schedule one. And so we already have problems there, and it's just going to go from bad to worse. The Trump administration is planning to cut 7,000 staff from the Social Security Administration, and already 3,000 are planning to leave by the end of, or sorry, yeah, by the middle of next month, actually, just as these changes are hitting. And at the same time, about 7 million more people are expected to seek in-person service at the Social Security Administration. So they're going to be calling that phone line and lining up at those offices between this change and another policy change that SSA made.
Somebody texted in here. We'd like to bring the audience in. We have a text line, the Okunard Jeweler Talking text line, 504-260-1870. It's a two-part message. The first part says, if people think their benefits are going to be cut off, they're just stupid. The second part says, get out of my yard. I made that up about the second part, but they did text in and say, if people think their benefits are going to be cut off, they're just stupid. Are people at risk of having their benefits cut off if they don't go in and do whatever they're supposed to do?
They are not at risk, and I just really want to reassure people that your benefits will not be cut off if you don't provide any information right now. And I don't think they're stupid. I think that people, you know, scammers, unfortunately, take advantage of our seniors. They take advantage of people with disabilities, and it's not right, and they shouldn't do that.
Should they get out of the yard or not? Just kidding. Let's talk about the rampant fraud and abuse that has been alleged. Does anybody really know what kind of fraud or abuse is going on with Social Security?
The fact is, Social Security has a very high level of payment accuracy, 99.7%. And so when you hear things like Trump and Musk talking about vampires and 10 million people, tens of millions of dead people getting benefits, those are just lies. It's not true. Even the handpicked commissioner of Social Security has refuted those lies that Trump and Musk are telling.
So one thing I don't understand is the end game here, because you could say pragmatically it's about, you know, making things more efficient, this, that, the other thing. But politically, any politician will tell you that you want to start losing votes, start messing with people's Social Security, and start making it more difficult for them to either contact the office or claim benefits. Am I missing something here, Kathleen? Or
no, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I am just as confused as you are. Social Security is known as the third rail of American politics. If you touch it, you get burned. And literally any politician will tell you access to Social Security is the number one thing that they hear from their constituents about when they need help.
So how do you see this playing out?
You know, I don't know. I know that, you know, when people are telling lies of this kind that are so big, like the ones that Trump and Musk are telling, it does make you wonder, is this a pretext for doing something rash that's really going to fundamentally change the program? I really don't know.
Thank you, Kathleen. Any final thoughts for us?
No, thank you so much for having me on. Have a good morning.
Thank you. Appreciate the insight. You too. Kathleen Romigs, Director of Social Security and Disability Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Those of you that are sending in text about personal issues, I wish I could help you, but Kathleen can't speak to that. So somebody texts in, does she really think Elon would stick his neck out this far to be questioned and find out all lies that he's propagating? Elon Musk has nothing to lose politically on all of this. He's still going to be a billionaire, and he'll still have his space thing and his car thing and everything else. I just wonder about the Republicans and President Trump and politically if they thought about this, because as she said, it is the third rail of politics, and if you start making it harder for people to get benefits under the guise of cutting waste or fraud or abuse, and they are on hold for hours and hours and hours and hours, or go into an office and wait for hours and hours and hours after they finally get there. I don't know. 6:30, we'll take a break. Talk to Mike Strain. We'll come back right now. Time for WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7. Rain coming in on Saturday, which is not good. And got a lot of stuff scheduled. We'll have to see what some events have been postponed or canceled already. We'll see what happens with others. Some of them are saying, you know what, as long as there's no lightning or tornadoes or anything else, we're going to go. Mike Strain joins us now, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike Strain?
Man, I am great. Look, it's festival season. And you know, it's important for the commissioner to be at the festivals. And so
absolutely,
it's a lot of fun. Oh, we're gearing up for the Strawberry Festival, and that is going to be starting on Friday, and that's on the 11th. The big day in the parade is Saturday, the 12th. Parade starts at about 9:30 is lineups. Parade's at 10. Then Sunday on the 13th, food, fun, all the strawberries you could ever want to see. We'll have Jazzy out there. I want you to think about 100,000 people on the streets in Ponchatoula, Louisiana. Beautiful day. It's just so much fun. It's a big family event. And then we have festivals going on just everywhere. So it's a whole lot of fun. And look, strawberries now, you know, you can get them for about $4.99 for one of those clamshells, which is 16 ounces or about $30 a flat. And they're really, really, really good. And of course, you need to pair that up with some of these crawfish. Look, I saw them this morning, $3.25 a pound raw. And look, that's getting right now, $3.25 a pound there at Rouse's on Barone Street. It's time for a good time, right?
Man, it's amazing to see people line up at Rouse's on Friday to get them crawfish. I'm going to tell you what, they got them set up. In a lobby, not the lobby, what do you call it, where you walk in the store with the ice chest, and they got people lined up waiting to get them and eat them up.
That's right. And look, I have it's my local IGA there in Covington at Equistapace's IGA. They're out there. They got ice chests, and people, you're right, line up, and they scooping them right there. They're hot. They're fresh. Mm-hmm. They're really good. They're select. And I can tell you, my friends in the crawfish industry, they're very pleased right now. It's going really well. I really don't think we're going to have any terrible cold weather because we're getting, you know, our crops in the ground. We're getting our corn in the ground, getting our rice, you know, in the ground. Won't be long. We're putting the soybeans in the ground and the cotton. And so the weather's favorable. The sugar, you know, that's coming poking back up through the ground after the freezes. So we're looking forward to a very, very good spring. We've been very fortunate that we've gotten some rain. They were starting to have wildfire problems in the Carolinas and through Oklahoma and out in the west. And I think we've gotten enough rain, but I can tell you the ground dries up real fast. And you're telling everybody, again, use common sense and exercise caution when you light that match.
Mike, when it comes to egg prices and so forth and bird flu, where do we stand? We talk about this every week because it's a constantly changing situation. Where do we stand, you know?
Right. Well, we're still finding cases of bird flu. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had one of the bird houses in Mississippi, actually, and a poultry farm there, and it was a different variety of the flu. But what's happening, and now we're doing more and more on biosecurity. Also, what's happened, and I really think the federal government is putting pressure on all of these large egg companies that, look, you've got to get these prices down. If you're looking at supply and demand, we're down about 10% in numbers for our hens that lay those eggs. There's been some backing off on the purchase of eggs because of cost. Call that demand destruction. Mm-hmm. And we're actually have seen in the last week an increase between 4 and 8% in the overall stocks. All that being said, I think we're going to be okay, you know, going into Easter, as long as people don't go in and just try to, you know, clean out the shelves. So we're working very hard. And additionally, the Trump administration is allowing Turkey, the country of Turkey, to ship eggs here temporarily to try to get some more volume, you know, overall in eggs. We've got to get a handle on this virus. And at the end of the day, I believe we're going to have to vaccinate because we don't have time to breed lions and chickens resistant to the disease. That would take too long. That would take years. But we cannot allow us to lose another 10% of our flocks. And so increased biosecurity, that's the main thing we can do right now. But also, we got to get a handle and vaccine, and we're going to have to start vaccinating and stop this disease in its tracks.
Along those lines, how do we know that the turkey, just like we talk about imported seafood, which we will in a little bit, how do we know the eggs from Turkey are, and again, to be clear, the country Turkey, not turkey eggs. How do we know the eggs from Turkey are, what do you call them?
Are safe. They are safe. They don't have antibiotics and everything. And that's going to have to be checked on both ends, both, you know, from third-party inspectors there, and that would be under the Food Safety Modernization Act, FSMA inspectors, and then also rechecked when they get here. Turkey produces a lot of eggs, and they ship them across the world. And so, you know, it's not like the imported seafood is done in a very different fashion. The seafood, when you talk about crawfish, like from China, they start off from very, very, very small farms. And the way it's done, you could get the crawfish from that one small farm in a pack here in America. You know, when you're talking about eggs, they're from very, very large farms, highly regulated, and you know they don't use antibiotics, you know, in those eggs. And so we will be testing for them. Say we, you know, the government will be testing for them. So I'm not as concerned about having any antibiotics in the eggs from Turkey. And again, this is temporary. The main thing we've got to do is really focus on increasing production of eggs here in America.
Well, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Text line is filling up with questions. Somebody wants to know if they can freeze strawberries. Somebody else wants to know about why the bird flu hasn't seemed to affect the price of chicken. Somebody else said, I'm not trying to be silly, but since you mentioned turkey and eggs, what about other sources of eggs from different types of poultry? We'll talk about that. And then somebody wants to know about Hootie. So a lot of questions pouring in for Mike Strain, 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 657, 3 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Thursday morning. That means we're talking to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, you said you had to be at the festivals. Not only do you have to, you took an oath to be at those festivals, did you not?
Yes, Tommy? I took an oath to be at those.
Yeah, absolutely. You're fulfilling your duties.
That's my duty, and you got to sample everything, right?
Absolutely. Can you freeze strawberries or not? Somebody wants to know.
Yes, you can. I do, actually. Now, I freeze them, and so if I'm outside working, I'll come and take a frozen strawberry, and I'll let it thaw maybe a minute just out in the open, and chewing it. I mean, it is delicious. It's like the most natural popsicle you ever did have. Now, when you let them thaw all the way out, they may be a little soft, but I thaw them. But I eat them frozen, and then I will use them, you know, like in desserts, frozen desserts, frozen. And so they're delicious. They're best fresh, but the frozen strawberries right out of the freezer, and just kind of nibble on them. They're incredible. You know, when you eat that wonderful ice cream and you have those frozen strawberries, when you taste that, that's what you're getting. And so it's very healthy, nutritious, and low calorie.
And nothing like macerating strawberries. You put them in some sugar, it draws the liquid out, and then you got the, ooh, man, is that good. Ooh, somebody wants to know about price of chickens as it relates to bird flu.
Well, what's happened, well, if you look at chicken right now is running between $1.46 and $1.69 a pound. And so, you know, a nice fryer is going between $7 and $9, you know, for a fryer. But we've increased, actually, production of broilers. And so the broiler production is up year to year. We can increase production rapidly to make up for what we've lost. We've lost about 166 million birds in this flu epidemic, of which, though, if you look at the overall, there's about 9 billion broilers on deck at any point in time. But with hens that lay eggs, we only have about 330 million, and we lost 30 million, 10% of that. Mm. And that's why there's that disparity.
Real quick, how's Hootie?
Hootie's doing great. Hootie got spayed on Tuesday, and she's still telling us, look, y'all got to suck up. So she's having a glorious morning here. She's 6 months old.
Thank you, Mike.